ought to do that, Alan, at the conclusion. Nothing can compare. Nothing can compare. Danny and Jeannie Hillard, I'm glad you're here. Who would have thought some 50 years ago, Glenwood Baptist Church, I had made a profession of faith on April 1st of 1966. And who would ever thought, Danny, that, you know, there was a whole gang of us, of young men, and between Sunday school and worship time, we would come out of Sunday school and we would all go out puffing. Somebody would drive by and say, "Man, Glenwood Baptist Church is on fire." It wasn't that Glenwood Baptist Church was on fire. It's everybody was smoking. Sunday school teachers and young couples and old men, and we're all standing around. We all smelled like Marlboros. And when I think about that, I want you to know, looking back at that, Glenwood Baptist Church, as I drive by there, is the beginnings of the walk of faith. And then when you look at it 50 years later, that you see the work of grace and the progress that takes place in our lives. And the reason I mentioned that is for the very fact of that as we are in the beginning of a new year, the Lord has granted us by His grace. We are here by His grace. And that He has afforded us a new Sunday by His grace. And we assembled ourselves in the name of Christ by His grace. And that I don't know how many years that you've been walking the walk of faith, but I believe that Sundays, a new Sunday in the year, ought to be always a good time for us to stop and to reflect. I haven't heard much in recent days about New Year's Day's resolutions and all that. Do people still do that? I guess the older you get, you come to the place to say, forget the resolutions, because they only work for about 2 or 3 days. And after that, forget all of that stuff, and I'm not going to deal with that. I guess when you're a little bit younger, that you can say there are certain things that I need to stop. And when it comes to my physical health, I can see there is a bulge that has been growing. There is all kinds of things, and you say, I need to watch my diet and my intake. Maybe I need to exercise a little bit more. And then perhaps you even would come to the place to say, what about spiritually, the stopping and the asking ourselves, where am I? You notice that in your bulletin this morning there is, and I know that Tyler and Ashley, our youth directors, have passed this out to our young people. It's been about a month ago, hasn't it? And they put that in their hands to pass it on to their parents and to their families. And I looked at it, and my problem was that it was such a small thing, I couldn't even read it. I mean, you couldn't hold it far enough away from me. So I asked Jill, I said, Jill, can you magnify that a little bit? And I would like to put that in everybody's hand. And there, that one statement, a spiritual health check, take a moment. I just want to say to you, that needs to be changed. The problem is what we do when it comes to our spiritual welfare. Oftentimes, it's but a moment. We think about it for a moment, for a second. And then but at the same time, Will you take some time to check the spiritual health of your family, or will you take some time to take your spiritual health? I was asking Dallas this morning, and it's an old, and I get a kick out of it. You older people, when I use this statement, you older people know what I'm talking about. When I say to you, Mike, are you percolating? And now Mike's old enough, you can see that. You can tell, you can see the generational gap that's there. Because now, you know, we don't percolate, and we go to Starbucks, and we do the Mac coffee, or we do this kind of stuff. But a percolating used to be the process where you make coffee. At Glenwood, whenever they had a social, you know, when you were a coffee drinker and you would go to a social, you'd have to stand around for 15, 20, 30 minutes before, I mean, this big old pot. And I mean, it just on and on. And then you would look at the color of it up on top. The heat would take the water and gets to boiling, and it comes up to the top, and it goes into the filter, and it goes on down. And whenever that thing was done percolating, that you had coffee. What I meant by that, when I asked Dallas, I said, Dallas, are you percolating? I meant to ask him, Dallas, how are you doing? And he said, I don't quite understand what you're talking about, Pastor. I asked somebody the other day, I think it might have been Hallie. I said, Hallie, are you percolating? She looked at me and she says, I don't know what you're talking about. And so from now on, young people, all of those of you that are young here, percolating means when Pastor says, are you percolating? That means, are you living? Are you alive? Is there vitality in you? Is there a heart and an energy? Is there something that displays there is life about you? When I was thinking about the life of our church and where we are as individuals, Calvary Baptist Church, I'm talking about Calvary Baptist Church. I want to ask myself, not just for a moment, but I want to stop and say, now, Pastor, where am I? Where are you? Is there spiritual progression? Is there progress? Is there growth? Is there maturity? Or have I come to the place where I've simply said, you know, I don't know. I'm done. I've been doing this. Let me just get my old notes out and let me just preach what I preached 30, 40 years ago. And let's not worry about continuing and drawing from God's word and drawing from the word of God that will instill in us a vitality and a strength in our faith to where we are, regardless of what age we are. And I want to say the same thing to you, Calvary Baptist Church. Brothers and sisters in Christ, where are you? And this first Sunday, and on, what is today? The sixth? Today, what? Today's the 6th of January, that we can say, would you ask yourself the question, where am I? And there are some things on this little spiritual health check sheet that particularly applies to parents and to grandparents, but there are some things that are there that apply to each and every one of us, whether you're a widow or widower, or whether you live by yourself, you don't have any children, and you're not connected with anybody that you can apply this to, that you can say, I want to be able to take these things and apply them to myself. With that said, I had prayed about and asked about, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is it that I can preach, and from what text can I preach? And you see, I come with a presupposition that in my mind I have a verse or two in mind that I'm acquainted with, and then you dive into the Word of God, and then you say, I'm absolutely unable to just take those two, three verses out of its context. And so I dove in the middle of it, and I have to simply say the sermon evolved. Evolved in this sense, it enlarged itself to what the text is saying. And so this morning I want us to read and begin reading in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1, and we'll read on down to verse 15, and then we'll go from there and see how the Lord will lead us exactly. This may turn into a three, four, five sermon series, whatever it might be. But let's read it and see how the Lord will lead us this morning. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by the putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ had showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come and we bow before you this morning. We thank you for your mercies that are found in Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the life of Simon Peter. We thank you for your grace that took this man, a fisherman, and you've told Peter up on this rock, the testimony that he had of you, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. And I will give unto you the keys of heaven. And, oh Lord, I come this morning, and we bow before you. We pray that as we see your grace in this man, in this life that lived before us, as we have it in the scriptures, may we be encouraged the same way, to be growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. A little while ago, I want to say, we were singing this song, "Come ye sinners, weak and weary." If you wait until you're better, you will never come at all. The first verse that we read in our portion of Scripture just a moment ago is Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. That's where I want to start. Simon Peter. When I think about the life of Peter, and I don't know what comes to your mind. I know the men's class, you had a study on the 12 apostles. I know that we have heard much when it comes to the life of Peter. Oftentimes we hear a lot about the apostle Paul. And the apostle Paul himself, he declared the fact that when the Lord called him that he summed it up that, but I found mercy. The Lord was merciful and gracious. And he said, I'm the chief of sinners. When I think about how the Lord works and ministers and calls people to himself. And I want you to know as I think about the beginning of Peter, I want to start in Matthew chapter 4. And there we read in verse 17. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, and they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me. I want to just simply say as I read that all who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, and a believer and a follower of the Lord Jesus, you have been called just the way the Lord Jesus called Peter when he said, follow me. I used to think back in the 60s when we were out there huffing and a-puffing around Glenwood Baptist Church in my early youth as a babe in Christ. You see, you mean to tell me you guys were Christians? You were smoking left and right? Yes, we were. At that particular time, I want you to know there were a lot of things that in our lives, and that as I look at the progression of all of that, I can say it is by the grace of God that he's brought us to a place. But when I see when the Lord Jesus is saying, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. Come ye sinners, weak and weary, ruined by the fall. If you wait until you're better, you will never come at all. You see, the Lord Jesus called Peter, the two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, and his ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and called them. And so I want to simply say here, is following the Lord Jesus when he calls. How does he call us? Do we hear an audible voice? Now, we don't hear an audible voice, but there is that work of the Spirit of God that shows us our conviction that I'm a sinner, I'm in need of Christ. My sins need to be dealt with. I want to come and I want to follow the Lord. And at the same time, when you begin to look, I used to think that the reason that I was saved because there was something that I'd done. And I want you to know when I think about those early years at Glenwood Baptist Church, sitting there when Bob Post used to get excited about the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and I would thump my little buddy and friend next to me, and he said, well, here he goes again. And then I would count the ceiling tiles, and I wondered, I hope we get out in time to see the Dallas Cowboys on television. And here's the preachers going long again and all of that. And then in the process of it all, the Lord had laid on my heart and showed me my need of the Lord Jesus. And that's where that life walk began. At the same time, when I think about the life of Simon, how he starts, come and I will make you fishers of men. When we think about Peter, and as we read in the Gospels of Peter, don't we think that Peter is the one who's always at the forefront? Peter is like some of the people that we've known in the course of our lives. They always, somebody asks a question, and he's the one that jumps in the middle of it and seems to be taking the place. Peter was the one who spoke out. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus, he said, and in Matthew chapter 16 we read, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then the Lord Jesus asked them, he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? You know, that's a good question for each and every one of us. Who do we say that the Lord Jesus is? Who is he? What is he to you personally? What is he to us? Is our answer the same? And we see that it is as Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. Think about it. What a statement. I mean, you think about it. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls them, come and I'll make you fishers of men. And when you think about the name Christ and what that means, Christ means you are God's anointed, appointed Messiah. You are the Savior. You are Christ, the Son of the living God. What a testimony. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Think about it. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Is that the rest of the story about Peter? And I want you to know, when I look at Peter's testimony and how he responds and answers the question, who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. I just simply want to have to say this, is that we ought to always be reminded of the fact, I want you to know something, that the foundation and that which the church is built upon is not upon Robert Hayling. It's not up on certain personalities in the church. The solid foundation and the rock, you see, that is able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the gates of hell shall not prevail against her, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to remember that. But then you think about Peter and the ministry of the Lord Jesus and what all that Peter saw and witnessed. I'm thinking about when they're on the Peter is walking on the water. The Lord Jesus is walking on the water, isn't he? Well, come out. I'm walk with you. And then you think about all of the other miracles that Peter witnessed in the course of his life. Think about it. The Mount of Transfiguration, and where the voice was said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." Think about it. Matter of fact, in the very same second letter of Peter, we read on that where Peter is talking about the fact we heard that voice, but our confidence is not in that which we saw, but our confidence is in the written word of God. And so, but when I think about the life of Peter, that I think about close hours before the Lord Jesus' crucifixion. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. Think about it. And then said Jesus unto them, and of course there are so many other things that we can mention. We can mention that when the Lord Jesus was washing his disciples' feet. You remember when he came to Peter. And Peter said, oh Lord, now you're not going to wash my feet. And then, oh Lord, now you wash me all over. And what lessons that the Lord was teaching Peter, I mean, just hours before this particular event, when we read in Matthew chapter 26, 31. And Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad, but after I'm risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. There is Peter. And Peter answered and said unto him, and when I read that, how often ourselves have we been at places where we have been confronted with all kinds of difficulties, and then in the haste of our flesh that we have said, I will respond a certain way here, or I will not respond in a way like this. How often do we find ourselves like Peter when Peter said, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Simon Peter, a servant and a follower and apostle of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all of the disciples. What happened? What did he say? He says, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, we read, and I am so glad of that. And we need to remember that. Those of you that have your followers of the Lord Jesus, we got to remember that. I mean, you think sometimes, am I going to continue growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus? Am I going to be all that the Lord has in mind for me? Am I going to be that light and that salt that the Lord has in mind for me in my life? In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, we read, and the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. Calvary Baptist Church, you know, we've got the whole book. We see all of that. We see when the Lord says, come and follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And then we come and see how the Lord so gives grace to see and testifies of the Lord Jesus. And then in the process of it all, we see all of it. There are, these men were not described as above sin and above flaws and above weaknesses. But I want you to know something. If we are in the Lord Jesus, that there is one who is praying for us. Joel, think about it. There are sometimes we find ourselves in valleys and we don't know what and how and where. But then don't we remember is that the Holy Spirit not only lives within us and he takes our groanings and he prays for that. He knows exactly what the will of God is. The Lord Jesus is on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Christian, listen to me. This is not some far-fetched thing. It is, as the Lord says here to Peter, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. That kind of stood out to me when I think about 1 and 2 Peter. When I think about the fact that how here Peter writes, and besides this, when Peter acknowledges the fact that you are the recipients of the same faith that God has given us, the apostles, we are standing and living in that same environment that Peter is saying, I know, and the Lord has says, when you are converted, when you have changed. There were many, many lessons that Peter learned before Peter started printing and writing letters to those that he was writing to. Listen to what Peter is saying in this portion of Scripture. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without person, scripture shoes, like ye anything, and they say nothing. What happened after that? Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came into him, The Lord Jesus has been arrested. He's been interrogated. Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee, but he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out in the porch, neither another maid saw him, and said unto him that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied him with an oath. Did you all hear me? Have we not been at places where we've been confronted with circumstances and situations? Maybe with our thoughts and speech. Maybe you have reacted and responded in a way. And that had someone knew that you were a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or a faithful tither and a churchgoer, that which was displayed that came out of you, how in the world can you be a Christian? Anybody? I'm very careful when I want you to know I'm very careful when I go somewhere. And I don't just say, well, I'm a Baptist preacher. Now, I know sometimes people say, well, you need to tell people what you are. Maybe you can use that for your advantages, to take advantage of that, because sometimes people are kinder to preachers. I don't know whether that's true or not. When they ask me what I do, I tell them I'm a Baptist pastor and a preacher. But once you have communicated that, I want you to know what that does. That entails much self-control, and that entails the fact that, Lord, will you enable me to display the fruit of the Spirit in such a way that I will not bring shame to your name or in my action deny who you are and what I have said that I am. What, does that make any sense? He began to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. Is that the rest of the story? Then we have the crucifixion and the burial and the resurrection. And the Lord calls the disciples and Peter also. And then we find where the Lord has revealed himself three times in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verse 12, we read. Jesus is on the shore. He's got a fire going. The disciples are out there fishing. And this is what we read. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst to ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. And this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. And after that, he was taken from the dead. And so when they had dined, and Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas. You've dropped the ball. You have failed miserably. You have denied me in a way, and you've cursed my name. You've cursed in order for you not to be connected with me. Simon Peter, you are a sorry case of one who is a follower of the Lord Jesus. Is that what he said? What is it that he says to a Christian, a true follower of the Lord Jesus? You see, that reveals what's in the heart. Because true saving faith takes the finger of the love of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God, and he puts it on our hearts, and he says to us, do you love me? You see, a Christian is one when it's all done, the Christian life, you can sum it all up when it comes to following and growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And when it comes to the place where we stop and we evaluate ourselves at this first day of this new year, that I would ask myself the question, where are my affection and where is my heart when it comes to the things of Christ? Are there affections that I have for God's people and the church? The Lord Jesus says to him, Simon, son of Jonas. And it's interesting that he would use the name Simon, because that was his natural name that was given to him by birth. Lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And the Lord Jesus said unto him, Feed my lambs. You see, when I look at 1 and 2 Peter, I see the progression of the grace of God in a man that he called and that he prepared and that he sanctified and that he set apart. And he taught Peter lessons. And Peter was the kind of guy that you and I, we are by nature, that we say, I got it all under control. Step aside. I'll die with you. You see, Peter had many, many lessons to learn. And the lessons that you and I need to learn by nature is this, that we need to learn as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, that we come to the place and we trust and we depend upon the sufficiency of Christ. That was the lesson that the Lord was teaching Peter. I mean, that was the lesson. As Paul says when he writes, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. And when he says in that passage of Scripture in Philippians, I forget the things that are behind. And when he says, I have been apprehended by the grace of God and I want to know the power of resurrection, of the resurrection, and that it's not that I have attained already, but I press after. In other words, he was apprehended by the grace of God, and so is it with Peter. And what a man that we can depend upon to say, now there is a man that has been very, the scriptures is very honest. It doesn't portray him as the, quote, saint that never had even thought about an evil thought. But here is one who's been portrayed that he has been acting and doing the things in his own power and in his own sufficiency. You see, the sufficiency that the Lord wants from any of us is this, that I've learned in whatever state that I am, I've learned therewith to be content. And that whatever state that I'm there, I've learned to be content. But then in the same vein, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. The Lord said to him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said it unto him the third time. Can I ask you the question, do you love him? Do you love him? He said, Lord, I do love you. I don't love you as I ought, but I do love you. And you can ask me three times, do you love me? And I'll answer it three times, Lord, I love you, but I don't love you as I ought. And at the same time that we rely upon him. And he said unto him, Lovest thou me? And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. And listen to this next verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But now, when you shall be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand, and another shall gird thee. You see, that's the lesson we need to learn. The lesson of faith we need to learn right early. Right early with whatever we're faced with. Whether it comes to job or education, when it comes to dating, when it comes to marriage, when it comes to everything that we do in the course of our lives. You know, we think we've got it all together. At the same time, if we know the Lord Jesus, we want to say, Lord, how do I connect all of this with you? Enable me to respond to you. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. It is the same Peter that writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. And he says, and I want to say, translate to us, the elders which are among you, I exhort him also, who am also an elder and witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Why is Peter writing 2 Peter? We don't have enough time to get into that, break it all down into three chapters. But I believe that he is writing and he's reminding them of, as one who is, he knows he soon must leave this tabernacle behind. I know that some of you family members have experienced that in months past. When there is a sickness that is imminent and death is not too far away, that there are certain instructions that come from a loved one to those that he loves and cares for. Peter says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. And be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir up you by the putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Calvary Baptist Church, brothers and sisters in Christ. I believe the purpose for Peter's writing to, in this second letter to Peter, is the same purpose that I stand before you this morning in this pulpit. If you are a Christian, I want to put you in remembrance, even though you know them. You say, I know that. I know that. I already know all of that. The first thing is, in this letter, this is a brief over, flying over the territory. Who and what you are in Christ. The second thing, what the Christian life entails. Godliness and righteousness. And then he reminds us of the fact that the world that we live in, the second chapter is plain and clear that there's false teaching and there's heresy then and now, and the dangers you will face. I want you to know that. That was true 2,000 years ago, and I want you to know that's even true in our day, in our little spiritual health check. There is one statement right here. The deadly religious box checker virus, spiritual ignorance syndrome, pure living itis, and Sunday morning zombie infections. That's the case today, and it's always been that case. And then the third thing in this portion of Scripture is this, that the hope of the new heaven and the new earth, that all will be dissolved. And then he would say the last words in this portion of Scripture. He said this particular thing. He said, the hope of the new heaven and new earth, and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And now I can't find where I wrote down that one particular verse that I wanted to mention. Well, let me just look it up, and then we'll be done. That's what happens when you close your Bible too soon. Look with me to the last two verses in 2 Peter. He says, remember what he said? I'm writing this to you to remember, cause you to remember, even though you already know it. And then he comes to the last two verses. He says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing yet you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. We got this new year in front of us. Ask yourself the question, where am I in this process? Have I just come to a place of being content where I'm at? And there's nothing else for me? Do you have an appetite and a heart and affections for the things of Christ when it comes to scriptures and Bible studies and all that we do here in the church? An appetite for it. If you don't have an appetite for it, then you ought to ask yourself the question, something's not right. You know, when you lose an appetite, people tell me that. People tell me that when there is a sudden weight loss, or people, they don't have an appetite for food, then they say, you need to go to the doctor and get checked out, right? I think we can translate that to the same. If you don't have an appetite for God's word, I wonder if there is something that has crept in to cause you not to take advantage of it. I want to say to you, as we were reminded this morning in the life of Peter, look and see how the Lord began with this fisherman. And Peter thought, I mean, there were some lessons that he had to learn even before the Lord says, Peter, do you love me? What did Peter say right before? He said, we're going fishing. I'm going fishing. Didn't he? I want to tell you something. When the Lord was done with him in his heart, and when he said, when you were young, you done it your way. But now since you're old, you're going to be taken by the hand. And that's going to lead you. Do you have any affections for the things of Christ? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, regardless where you are? Perhaps you've never come to the place and you've said, I'm going to get up and follow the Lord Jesus. And maybe you've thought that, man, I mean, I look at all of these other people, I'll never attain to that. Just leave all of that in the hands of God. It is His grace that lays hold of us. It is His grace that sanctifies us. And it's His grace that will glorify us. Let's pray.